of the Pittsburgh Steelers is. But we're not done yet. This, you can pick on me if you want, because I'm going to pick on you when the tables turn, all right? All right, so listen, thick or thin? Thick or thin? There you go. Amen. Got one loyal Christian in his place. Welcome. Good to be here. Amen. You have your Bibles, and I pray that you do. You got it. Say, I got it. All right. Open them up to the book of James. The title of this sermon, Joy, Joy, Joy. I've got joy, joy, joy. Where? All right. Wish Kevin was here. Last week, we finished up our series over the summer that was entitled Leave It Behind, and we looked at what a life in Christ looks like. Amen? Where there are things that that were in our life pre-Christian, pre-salvation, that as we lived out our new life in Christ, that there are some behaviors that we should have left behind, that we no longer have these practices in our life. You all know what those things are, things like lying, stealing, anger that leads to sin, anger that leads to unwholesome talks, sexual immorality, and the like of those things. But now what's next? What do we do next? Well, we know that life is hard, amen? And trials come, right? And I just have a tendency to fall back in those old patterns in that time. When those things come along, I find myself in a tendency to fall back into the worldly aspect of my life. That stuff that I should have left behind that rears its ugly head, and it never stops. It just keeps happening again and again and again as I face the difficulty of everyday life. So what am I to do? Well, as I prayed about where to go next, I've been led to the book of James. Now, I preached a series out of the book of James before years ago, but I've taken a fresh look at it. I've taken a new look at it, and I believe that God has a new word for you and for me from James, from the book of James. I have entitled this series, Just Live It. Just Live It. Now, those of you who do not know, James was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same James who rejected Jesus as Messiah. If you remember that, you find that in the book of John, in John chapter 7, verse 5. But then later, James believed. He believed in Jesus as Messiah, and you can read that evidence of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, when Paul spoke of Jesus' appearing after the resurrection to the apostles, James being one of those that he was speaking to. So it is that James who wrote this book, and it can be dated around 44 to 49 AD, which would make this book one of the earliest written books in the New Testament. Now, when you read James, when you go to read James, what you quickly learn is that James doesn't pull any punches. James is a man's man. He's a guy's guy. He's a scrapper, okay? So he doesn't pull any punches. I mean, if you were to ask James, how can I live out this life? How can I live out this Christian life? How can I leave all those old habits behind and live a life worthy of this calling? I believe James would look at you and say, duh, just live it. Just live it. When you say, well, live what? You just live it. You just do it. You just live out by faith what you know is true in the Word of God. You live out by faith what you know is true in the Word of God. So James comes and he begins to this epistle by talking about trials. Now listen to me. Every one of us at one time or another experiences trials. And many of you are experiencing trials right now. Some of you, I know about. Some of them I don't know about. But many of us are right there in that place right now. Listen, some of them are parental trials. You are going through a trial as a parent. Maybe you're going through a marital trial, maybe a financial trial, maybe a physical trial with your health, trial with your health. Maybe it's emotional, like a death of a loved one or something of that nature, or even spiritual. You are battling a sin issue. Well, listen, you can fill in your own blank. You can fill in your own blank there, because it seems to me that most people at some point in life experience trials. Like Brother Ed said in Wednesday night Bible study, I can't remember the direct quote, but Brother Ed said this, and he quoted somebody, but I can't remember who it was. He says, you're either in a trial now or coming out of a trial, or you're entering into a trial. They never stop. So wherever you're at, you're going to face a trial. Now, I don't know what your trial may be, but listen, James comes and he talks about how we as Christians are to face these trials. How am I to come up on these trials? How am I to endure these trials? Now, if you have never read James, you already know that James is, if you have ever read James, you know that James is like the Mike Tyson of the New Testament. No, James doesn't bite ears, but you understand what I'm saying. He's like the Mike Tyson of the New Testament. I mean, this guy doesn't pull any punches. He punches like George Foreman. You know, I once heard it said that if George Foreman hits you, it rattles your grandpap's bones, right? I mean, so likewise, James does not hold any punches. He comes straight to the issue. It's a straight talk. Now, James is speaking to the Jewish Christians here, and he is telling them, you just live the faith. Essentially, he tells these Jewish Christians, you can sit in synagogues all day long, just like today. We be here, we sit week in and week out. We sit in synagogues all day long. You can sit in church all day long, but it's when you get outside. It's when you leave this place and you get out into the real world, that's where you really live out the Christian faith. And he says, just live it. You all came here this morning, and you'll, for the most part, you'll listen to me, partially some, right? You'll listen to me, and some of you will even take notes, and you will even sit and nod in agreement. Maybe once in a great while, I'll get an amen. And if you don't amen me, I usually amen myself. But once in a while, we get there, right? But real life is when you get out there. So you can sit in here and amen all day long, but real life is out there. Real application is out there. So now look, the true evidence of your salvation is shown by how you live out your faith out there. That's the true evidence. It's how I live out my faith out there. Listen, it's easy to put the Sunday face on. Well, some of you aren't, but anyways. It's easy to put the Sunday face on, but listen, but when we get out there, it's where it's at. It's where the rubber meets the road. You are facing trials, and he gives us some things about that I want you to see. Now, you've left all the old garbage behind, amen? You left all that old garbage behind. You've left the old life behind. You are not that same person anymore. And now James says here, regarding trials of life, he says, when it comes to the trials in your life, you must know about point number one, the inevitability of trials. The inevitability of trials. Before we start, I almost forgot. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, that you come and you pour your spirit out. And Father, that you will speak to our hearts today. Father, again, that they would not remember my words, but your words. And Father, not what I have to come up, but your what come out of me, but what is your truth that comes out of me. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you just begin to work in our hearts right now. As always, Father, I just simply present myself to you as a servant. Father, if you choose to use me today, thank you, Lord Jesus. If I'm not the one to speak for you today, Father, I pray that you silence my lips. If I'm going to say something that's not true, silence my lips. Do not let me speak, but you would rise up the one to speak for you this day. Father, please forgive me of my sin, which you know I have. And Father, but I present myself to you at your altar that you would use me as an instrument in your toolbox in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing he wants to show us is the inevitability of trials, because James is going to tell you, don't be shocked about the trial that you are in. Let me repeat that. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But he's saying, look, don't be shocked about the trial that you are in. Meaning this, it is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, not if, but when. There are a lot of Christians who think that because I believe in Jesus Christ, because I'm a Christian, because I serve at the church, because I give money, because I do this, because I do that, that because of me and what I do for God, because I profess Jesus as Lord and Savior, now that I've given my life to Christ, that nothing bad should ever happen to me anymore. But James will tell us, don't be shocked. Look, don't be shocked when a trial comes up on you. Peter also tells us the same thing over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He said, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange has happened to you. Listen, it's not personal. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, trials are personal, but it's not just you. Everybody's going to come through this. Everybody's going to go through it. So Peter and James both say, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised when these things happen. So now look with me at the book of James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. He says there, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now let's just look at that one verse right there, because there he tells you about the certainty of the trials. He's talking to you about the certainty of the trials. They are certain to come. They are certain. Notice the wording, when. When you fall into various trials. It's not if or by chance that it could happen or it might happen. James is saying this. You need to understand you are going to experience trials in your life. No exceptions. You're not the exception to the rule. If you are breathing air in and out of your lungs, you will experience a trial. Now, the word trials there can be interpreted two different ways, depending on the context. And I just take it both ways here, because in this verse, I really think it's speaking of both ways. First, it can be this. It speaks of an external trial. It might be that you lost your cell phone. My wife was telling me about a guy that she works with, and he was in Kroger's down in Charleston, and he was at one of those self-checkout things. Don't wait. It costs you more problems than you're ever worth anyway. You know, here's an amen, right? He's at one of those self-checkout counters, and he laid his cell phone up on the shelf there while he scanned his stuff. And he walked out of the store and left it laying there. So you think, well, okay, that's not a big deal. Just go back. He realized right away. So he went, as he walked out the automatic doors, he automatically did a U-turn and he went right back in. And guess what? His phone was gone. And you think, well, not so bad. That's the biggest thing ever happens in life. Not so bad. Well, just go to the office and see if they got it. It wasn't there. Just go over to the office and check, see if they got it. How many of you have done that? I do it all the time. But what he learned is that somebody walked up behind him and stole the phone. Not just his phone, but his driver's license, his credit cards, his license, social security card, everything was in it. I should have brought mine with me, but I have that exact same thing. You got my phone in there? Here, hold that up. I'll show you what it was like. See that? My life is right there. All my credit cards, all one of them. So, okay. But my life is in there, right? It was in his phone / wallet. It was in his phone wallet. So now that's a trial, right? That guy is in a trial. Or how about last week when Don and I were traveling down to Charleston and my truck broke down alongside the interstate? Don't say you should have bought a Ford. Don't do it. Yeah, well, I wouldn't even got to where I was if I was in that. So, I was traveling down the interstate and my truck broke down alongside the interstate. Listen, that's an external trial as well. Or this word can also mean an internal trial. It can also mean an internal trial. It can be a struggle with an internal temptation. God, I struggle with this. I battle against this. And it's hard. It's tough. I struggle with this sin in my life. And I'm under this temptation. And it just won't go away. Now, for many, that could be a trial in your life that you're going through right now. It's real. And let me tell you something else. It's debilitating. right? It's debilitating and it's internal. And listen to me, the scenarios on this can be endless. So there are external trials and there are internal trials. But the fact of the matter is, watch me, they are certain. Trials are certain to come. That's what the text is telling us. Here's the second thing about trials is the uncertainty. First is the certainty. Trials are inevitable. It's going to happen. But the second part is an uncertainty, meaning this, the time and type of the trial, right? What's coming? What is it? What's the type? When is it coming? Like I said, the scenarios when it comes to the trials is endless, both external and internal. And listen, on top of all that, you don't know the timing. You don't know the timing of when the trial will come. Nobody ever calls and says, "Oh, yeah, Larry, listen, I just wanted to let you know on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock when you're traveling, your truck's going to break down on the interstate." Trials don't do that, do they? That's not the way trials operate. Trials don't come that kind of way. There is no preparation that for them. They just come, and really their timing is always what? Horrible, right? They couldn't come at a more inopportune time. You know, when we broke down alongside the interstate last week, my truck was absolutely loaded down from front to back, from top to bottom, completely loaded down with boxes of stuff. Honestly, it was a very, very important legal documents. I'll just leave it at that. Very, very important legal documents that we were delivering to Donna's office in Charleston. I couldn't leave it. Somebody had to be with it all the time. Right? So now I got a broken truck and I got stuff here, right? It's not like we could just rent a car. No, we had to unload that stuff. Thank you, Ed and Emily. Appreciate it. They come to our rescue as long as our other friends from Charleston came. We had to unload that stuff and we had to get another vehicle that it would fit in. So our friends from Charleston brought their truck up and Ed and Emily comes over and we unload all this stuff. It was a pain. I almost sweated and... But understand this, trials come at the most inopportune time. And then listen to what James says, they are various. Look at that. That's the type. Various. Now, you know what the word various means there? The word various means they're multicolored. Multicolored. It means every kind of trial that you can imagine. So you have no idea when they are going to come. Or what kind of trial, or what kind of trial it's going to be, or how long they will last. If I knew when and the kind and how long, I could prepare for it, right? We could all be prepared for that. Because you are never prepared because they don't give you a time when they're going to come. And they don't tell you what kind of trials are going to be or how long. We don't have a time machine to look into the future. But James tells us and Peter tells us that trials will happen and they will come. So now look with me, look at this. I want you to look at the multiplicity of it. The multiplicity of it. Now, where do you see that? Well, listen, it's in the plurality of the word. Look what he says here. He says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials," plural. Trials, plural. I mean, think about it. If you just had one trial in marriage, you just had one trial in your whole entire marriage, you'd be great for the next 50 years, wouldn't you? I mean, if you just had one trial with your kids, and that was it, one trial per kid forever, if that was it, you'd be good, right? But that's not the way it happens, is it? That's not real life. That's not the way it happens. You've got this trial coming at you, and that trial coming at you, and another trial coming at you. Sometimes internal, sometimes external, all at the same time, and they all come at the same time, and that's how it seems to happen in real life all at one time. So listen to what he says. He says, during this, you just count it all joy. Hang on for the ride. Yeah, just count it all joy. Now, listen, I'm going to give you something here. This phrase, count it all joy, is in the primary position. And you're like, oh, I got it now. It is. It's in the primary series. Now, let me explain this by explaining this. Let me explain to you what James is not saying here. Let me just explain to you what he's not saying. Because so many people misunderstand this. Because understand, he's not talking about your emotions here. It's not what he's talking about. He's not saying when your cell phone and your credit cards and driver's license and all that gets stolen, that you know, when only your phone and all that gets stolen, that you pick up the phone, which is an oxymoron because if you lost your phone, you can't pick it up. But so you just pick up the phone and you call your wife and say, "Hey, honey, just, you know what? All my credit card information and my phone was stolen. Isn't that great? I mean, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting a long time. Isn't this just great? Or, honey, I just wanted to let you know that I just got fired. Isn't that a riot? I mean, isn't that a riot? I am so excited that I got fired today." That's not what this means. What he is saying is that this is a settled disposition in the believer's life. He's saying it's a state of stability mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. That's what he's talking about here. What is my attitude in any trial of life? Let me ask you that question again. What is my attitude in any trial of life? That in the trial, what is my attitude? Meaning that my attitude is it this settled joy? Now, joy doesn't mean hilarity. Joy doesn't mean hilarity. Joy doesn't mean that it's funny. Joy doesn't mean that it's happy. It doesn't mean laughter. It means an internal stability that is there, that no matter what happens in my life, this is the way I face it. Not in anger, not in bitterness, not in backbiting. Now, let me show you that. Put your finger there in James chapter 1 and go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want you to listen to what Paul says right there in verse 4. He says, "Great is my boldness." That means confidence. Great is my confidence. Great is my hope, right? Look what it says. "Great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my boasting." That means I'm bragging. "Great is my boasting on your behalf." Now listen to what he says about himself there. He says, "I am filled with comfort." Do you notice that? "I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all tribulation." Now, if you know anything about Paul, you know that his life was one tremendous trial after another. Notice, in the world, watch this. How in the world does Paul do that? How can he do that? He does that because he is already in this settled disposition in his life about how he's going to respond. It's already predetermined in Paul's life how he's going to respond in the midst of a trial that comes down his pike. No matter if he's even thrown into prison. No matter if he's being falsely accused. No matter if he's being beaten. No matter if he's being stoned. No matter if he's being shipwrecked. No matter if he's being snake bitten, right? He's predetermined in his attitude and how he's going to respond into that situation. That here is the attitude of my life. And it is this attitude of stability in my life because of Jesus Christ. It's not of me. It's because of Jesus Christ. In me, I want to just punch somebody in the face. And so do you. But because of Christ in my life, who knows me and knows the trial by his own experience. Listen, you ain't faced anything that Jesus Christ hasn't already faced. So you see that? He knows me and knows the trial that I'm in by experience, that he knows what I'm going through. And I'm going to boast. Listen, I'm going to take a second here. And I'm going to boast a little bit about Randy Ryan. You all know Randy. He's sitting right here in the front pew right there. Say hi, Randy. You can't hardly see you, Randy. So listen, I want to boast on him. And I pre-approved this just so you know. Randy's had a few trials over the past couple of years. A lot of you probably don't even know it. He lost one brother to suicide. He lost another brother due to cancer that he and his wife Dorcia took care of. His son, just in the last year, couple years, had some hardships in his marriage that led to an absolute bitter divorce that cost a lot. Then he lost his wife of 48 years, and recently he just had a heart attack, and last night, your niece died. Now, I'm going to tell you, all of these things has affected Randy to his core. Don't think that it hasn't. But all of these things has affected Randy to his core through grief, through pain, both physically and emotionally, and even in spiritually. But you don't see him throwing a fit about it, do you? You don't see him throwing a fit about it. Listen, does he have feelings? Yes. Does he feel pain physically and emotionally? Yes. Just the same as you and I. Listen, I could use anybody in this congregation to point out today. He has pain. He feels that pain. But you don't see him raising his fist to God. You don't see him. You don't understand. You don't see any display of anger. You don't see him throwing a fit. You don't see him kick the dog. You don't see him jumping up and down, throwing a fit. You don't hear him saying, "This is not fair." You don't hear him say, "Why is this happening to me? Why is God punishing me?" You don't hear that. In fact, if you ask Randy how is he doing, he will say what? How you doing, Randy? Why? We know he feels pain. We know he has feelings. We know he's going through hardships. Why can he say better than anybody you know? Amen. I'll tell you why. Because there's already a determination in his mind and in his life. There's a stability. And listen to me. It is spiritual. He doesn't wander around like somebody who has no hope. It's internal. He's got this predetermined thing that in this situation, people are going to look at me and they're going to either see Jesus or they're going to see Randy Ryan. So it's important to him and how he responds. That's why he responds the way he does. I'm better than anybody you know. Why? Because I'm a child of the living King and he has me. Even here, even in this situation. Listen, he doesn't draw back from God. Well, listen to me. I see it all the time. People get hardships in their life. Things go wrong in their life. What do? They draw back. What do I say all the time? Don't run out. Run in, and you sit right smack dab in the middle of the body of believers, and you get surrounded by them. Don't run out. Listen, he doesn't draw back. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, Leslie, you don't have this, I added it. Hebrews 10, 38 says this, that the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What did I say? He wants people to see who in him? Not Randy, he wants them to see Jesus. Now, that's enough around here. Randy, this is how you meet, listen, this is how you meet the good times in life. And this is also how you meet the bad times in life. And you meet them as a Christian, both the same, by faith and God. You see, Randy knows that these trials are a part of everyone's life. They're a part of everyone's life, not just his. And he knows that God's word says, not if, but when the trials come. You know, like it's the same for you and I. It's the same for you and me. You lose your job. I'm going to lose my business. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my marriage. God, I need you to lift me up. I need you to help me in this, whichever way it goes. Lord, I'm depending on you. that whatever comes my way, God, this is my disposition, and I'm going to meet it with joy. I meet it by faith. That's not that I'm happy about it, but that I meet it with this settled disposition of my life. Now listen to what he says, because this is very, very, very important here. Look at verse 3. Knowing that the testing, now that is, listen, the fire of a metallurgist who is saying metal, that's what this is talking about. The fire is on, the heat is up on the trial. Look, he says, knowing that the testing, knowing that the fire of the trial, look, of your faith produces patience. So do you know what I'm supposed to do in these trials? I face it with this right attitude, but that word patience there in the Greek is actually a combination of two words. It's the word, is hupomeno. Hupomeno, maneo means to stand, to stay, and hupo means under. It's that I get under, I get under my faith. I get under my faith, I get under God's word, and I just stand there. Why? Because God is doing something in my life. Trials come because God is doing something in our life. And that's what he's going to say in this next verse. Look at what he says. But let patience, let that remaining under, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking absolutely nothing. In other words, he says this, when these trials come on you, this is what you do. You meet it with the right attitude. You get under it and you stay there. You say, Pastor, get under what? Under the wing of God. And you let God do in your life what God wants to do in your life. Listen, when God is molding and shaping, it probably is not going to feel good. But listen to me very carefully. God works to, what does the word say? God works for the good of those who what? That's how you meet a trial. You know that. It's just not, it's more than a knowing, but you believe it. You know, I can know things, but if I don't believe them, I'm not going to trust in it. Listen, that's how you meet a trial. That even when I don't understand the trial, I don't understand the why. You understand? And that's the biggest question in the trials. Why? 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 Why me? Why would you choose this for me? I have to trust that God has a reason that I don't know or get yet. Oh, you mean faith? Yes. I don't understand it. I don't know why. And I don't know why. So I gotta get under my faith in God. And I need to be patient. Knowing that God is working. Knowing that God is working. Because why? Because it's inevitable. Because it's inevitable that the trial is coming. So what do? I get under it and I just hunker down. I pitch a tent. You know, sometimes the only way to get through is one step at a time, one day at a time. There may not be an easy way out. There might not be a magical cure. It's just that I got to endure by faith, patiently knowing that God is working, right? I stay there under this trial, submitting to Jesus Christ and what he is doing in my life. I don't run away. I run in, knowing that his ways are not my ways, and knowing that his thoughts are not my thoughts. You know this, that whatever God is doing in your life, whatever God is doing in your life right now is he's shaping you. He's shaping you. So be patient and trust him. Somebody asked Michelangelo one time, they said, how did you get David out of that block of marble? And he said this, it was very profound. He said this, David was already there. I just chiseled away what was not David. He said, David was in the marble the whole time. I just chiseled away what wasn't him. Listen to me. That is exactly what God is doing in the believer's life in a trial. He's chipping away at what doesn't belong. And I want to tell you something. Take it from someone that God hammers on all the time, a lot. And listen, I confess this to you. There's a lot in my life that needs chiseled away. There is. But listen, that goes for you too. That goes for you too. There needs to be some chiseling done on all of us. Amen. Amen. Honestly, there needs to be some chiseling to be done on all of us. Well, if we are patient and trust God, and we stand under His wing, listen to me, something very beautiful will appear. You say, how can beautiful come out of this? How did beautiful come out of that? Something beautiful will appear if you're patient and let God have His work. Listen, you may not see it. Only whatever his name was, seen Michelangelo. Others didn't see it. You may not see it, but you trust me when I tell you, the one who created you sees it. And he knows. He knows. So know and trust that in the midst of that trial, that's what he's doing. He's chipping away. That does not belong in this boy's life or this girl's life, this man's life or this woman's life. He's saying it doesn't belong, so I'm going to chip it away. You see, for it is God who gives life. He is the light in the darkness. He gives hope. He restores what needs mended. And He restores every heart that is broken if you will stay under Him. And I'm telling you right now, He does a pretty good job of it. He does a pretty good job of it. If we will trust Him and realize that I belong to Him and He loves me. I got joy in the trial because why? Because He loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Do you know? But you know what happens oftentimes? In the midst, I sometimes resist. I sometimes push back. I don't understand the why. And so I push back. And you know what? You do too. Right? You do too. Amen? But the truth is this. Here's the truth. We can't stop it. But we can face it. We are not left alone. We're not orphans. We can face it, and we will face it with assurance and stability if our faith is in Jesus Christ. That's what James is saying here. He's saying the inevitability of the trial is 100%. Because if you are a believer, God is working in you as we speak. You. He's working in you as we speak right now. Are you trusting Him? Or are you just angry? Are you trusting Him? Or are you just angry with Him? I've learned a long time ago, and somebody in here is going to say amen to this. I've learned a long time ago, it is absolutely futile to get angry at God. That's not going to help. Probably make it worse. However, the ones I see in victory in the trial is the one who comes to Christ. Now listen, you may need to do that. Maybe you're in a trial and you've been running around and you're running out and you need to run in. Maybe you need to come before God and say, listen, I come and I'm just surrendering myself to you because I've tried to fix it on my own and I can't fix it anymore. Listen, stop running and start kneeling. Amen? Listen, I can't run out there before I kneel before God in here. You may be going through something, and it may be big, and it may be deep. Is it bigger and deeper than that? Because in that produced life, and even that in eternity for you and me. He gets the ugly. He gets it. The question is, how are you handling it? Listen, you may be here. You can stand. The musicians will come. Listen, you can't handle anything apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't stand under his wing. You can't stand in your faith and under your faith if you don't have that. So listen, there's some things this morning that you're going through. There's some things this morning that you need help with. We all need help. All of us need help. He says, come to me. Come to me and I will give you that help. Come to me and speak to me. Talk to me. But listen, most of the time he's going to tell you to do something that you think is going to be absolutely crazy nuts. But you've got to trust. Remember, his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. So when I come and I lay myself out there and say, I want your help. And then he starts speaking into you and he says, well, this is what you need to do. But I don't want to do that. Well, then you don't want to help. Listen, because most likely it's going to be crazy. Like forgiving somebody that you don't want to. You know, showing Jesus to somebody that hates you. You see me? Feel me? You're in the midst of it. You're battling something. Listen, come to him. But you can't come and expect his help if you're not in relationship with him. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. He's speaking to you and saying, listen, your biggest trial is me. Your biggest trial is me, and I'm calling you, and I'm drawing you to myself, and I'm calling you. I need you to come to me. I need you to surrender your life to me. I need you to bow before me and say, here am I. Forgive me of my sins. Receive me, Father, into your bosom. I profess you as my Lord and my Savior. You are my Christ. You are my Messiah. I give myself to you. You do with me what you see fit. Can you say that today? Can you say that today? Lord Jesus, do in me what you see fit. Yeah. Apart from a relationship from him, you would never utter those words. So if you don't know him, you need help, you need somebody to pray with you, you come. You come. If I'm busy, somebody else will step up here and pray with you. Bring somebody to pray with you. Maybe you need to pray about somebody else. I don't know what it is, but the altar is open. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this incredible message, Father, that we are not a people without hope, but we are a people that can experience joy no matter what, because we have security in you. We have an all-knowing in you. And Father, our power comes not of ourselves, but from you who lives in us. So Father, we come under you and we just ask you, Father, to just pour your spirit out, and Father, that you just become this incredible comforter and this incredible healer, this light that's in the darkness, and Father, just rid it, Father, from our lives. So we just stand here, surrender to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.